This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. We'll call the South Dakota Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Welcome everyone that's joined us, as well as those that have joined us online. Would remind everyone in the room to please shut their cell phones off or put them on wiggle so we don't have any disruptions. At this time, Madam Secretary, would you please call a roll?
Senator Boland?
Here.
Greenfield?
Here.
Heinert? Kennedy?
Here.
Langer?
Here.
Nostrup?
Here.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Klum?
Here.
Ewing?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. At this time, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Okay, we have a motion made by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg for approval of the minutes of our last meeting. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I will ask everyone that's going to testify this morning to please sign in legibly at the podium and direct all of your conversation through the chair. And at this time, we'll ask our pages to come forward and introduce yourselves.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melody Bowyu. I'm from Senator Boland's district, North Sioux City. I go to Dakota Valley High School. There's about 90 kids in my class. Next year, I'm going to USD to double major in political science and Native American studies and minor in Spanish.
All right. Thank you.
I'm Taylor Eggert. I'm from Howard, which is Senator Youngberg's district. I'm planning on going to Augustana for political science.
All right. Thank you. If you have anything to distribute, please use our ABLE pages. Senator Greenfield.
I might note that this young lady's mother, their Youngberg, was still in diapers.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure we get that in the log.
Mr. Chair.
One more brief comment from Senator Youngberg.
Well, I'll just point out that this individual's mother was my DARE teacher when I was just barely out of diapers. So.
Okay. With that all said, we have a request by the prime sponsor to defer House Bill 1189 to a different date. Is there anyone in the audience here that traveled here today to testify on behalf of this bill or against it? Okay, seeing none, we will defer that bill to a later date. And we will take up House Bill 1217. The title is to prohibit the endangerment of any child by means of driving under the influence and to provide a penalty therefore. And at this time, we will take proponent testimony. Good morning, Representative. You have the floor.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Tim Goodwin from District 30. I bring before you House Bill 1217. It's a fairly simple bill. What it does is it makes it a Class 1 misdemeanor if you have a DUI with children in your car, children being classified as 16 years and not younger. We are one of three states that don't have that on the books. New Mexico is one of the other states. They have legislation as we speak now, and Vermont's the other state, so we're only one of three states. Hopefully two of them will have it on the books before this year's session's over. I have with me an outstanding proponent testimony, and without further ado, I'll pass it under there, and I'll stand by for questions and or rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1217. Good morning, ma'am. Once you're seated, you can introduce yourself, and you have the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Connie Hobbs. I am the director of Mothers Against Drunk Driving for South Dakota. I'm a retired 36-year veteran, full-time military. I retired a year early so I could take over Mothers Against Drunk Driving because they were going to shut the office down when Lila, after 34 years, retired. Why am I here? I'm here to ask you to pass House Bill 1217. I shouldn't be here asking you to pass it because it should have been a law on the books a long time ago. Again, as Mr. Goodwin said, South Dakota is one of three states that does not have this law. This law is to protect children, our children, drinking and driving with a child in a vehicle, whether it be a car, watercraft, ATV, is a form of child abuse. Protecting children is the value most Americans cherish, yet despite the fact that substance-impaired driving is a violent crime, driving while substance-impaired with children in the vehicle is not a commonly acknowledged form of child abuse or child endangerment. Minor children often have no choice whether they ride with an impaired driver or not. Caregivers that drive while substance impaired with children in vehicles are child abusers in their own right and account for the majority of substance impaired driving fatalities among children. A child in a vehicle with a drinking driver is not only at risk from impaired driver, but also the lack of safety restraint like a safety seat or a seat belt. As drinking drivers are much less likely to make sure a child is properly restrained. Specifically in fatal crashes, sober drivers have restrained their children 30.5% of the time compared with only 18% of drunken driving. If you look at your second page that I gave you, there was a study done. States without child endangerment laws have higher rates of DUI child passenger deaths in South Dakota. According to a 2014 study by American Academy of Pediatrics, 16 children were killed in DUI crashes from 2001 to 2010 in South Dakota. This is a rate of 0.98 deaths per 100,000 children. The highest in the nation was South Dakota. The two states that followed were New Mexico and Mississippi, and at that time Mississippi did not have the law but does have it now. According to the statistics of 2011 to 2017, there was 38 children killed from the age of 0 to the age of 19. That was 3 2-year-olds, 9 1-year-olds, a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, 2 18-year-olds, and 6 19-year-olds. That's 14 deaths. You might say that's not a lot, but you ask a parent if that was a lot. In 1994, I was hit by a drunk driver. My 5-year-old and myself were injured. My 9-year-old was killed. So ask me in 1994 if one was a lot. It was. I can't tell you how many times in the last couple years that I've had law enforcement come up to me and ask me, you got to do something. You got to help us. We need a new law on the books that says DUI with children in the car is child endangerment. So that's one of the reasons I'm here today. Your next page is a picture of Hannah, beautiful 3-year-old. Hannah, her 7-year-old brother, and her father were riding in a pickup in the front seat. None of them were buckled up. Her father was drinking and driving, missed a curve, ran his truck along the side of a rock wall, went into the ditch, went across the street into the ditch, finally hit a tree. He was ejected, and Hannah was ejected. Hannah died at the scene. Her father didn't have any injuries, and her 7-year-old brother was tumbled around in that vehicle and had injuries, but not life-threatening. The second picture in that packet is Farrellyn and Adrian, both 6 years old, riding with their impaired father. He was buckled up. The two children were not. Both of them were thrown from their vehicle. Farrellyn died at 6 years old at the scene of the crash. Her brother died two days later on the day that she would have been 7 years old. It is clear that innocent children, and both of these crashes were here in South Dakota. One was in on Sheridan Lake Drive in Rapid, and the other one was in Hot Springs. I tell these stories twice a month to court-ordered offenders that have to go to a victim impact panel, and I get to tell these stories twice a month just like I get to tell my story. And hopefully it will cause an offender not to drink and drive again. It's clear that innocent children who count on parents and caregivers to protect them from danger are being placed at a risk when a substance-impaired driver has made the decision to drive impaired with a child passenger. Children are our greatest resource and our future. MAD has taken action to help protect the children who are needlessly put in danger every day in South Dakota. It's irresponsible to endanger an innocent child, and it should not be tolerated by a society that puts children first. Driving impaired is not an accident or a mistake. It is a choice. Just like the act of blatant physical child abuse is a choice, the weapon is a motor vehicle rather than a fist. So today, MAD and all South Dakota citizens are asking you to please pass House Bill 1217. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1217. Further proponent testimony. Okay, seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony? Good morning, sir. Once you're seated, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Justin Bell. I'm an attorney from here. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. I want to start off my testimony by thanking the previous speaker, and there's no doubt that driving under influence is bad. Nobody's here trying to say that there aren't problems with such. I do want the committee to be aware of what South Dakota's laws are as it relates to this situation and what they are not as it relates to this situation. It's a Class 1 misdemeanor to be convicted of a driving under the influence offense. If you have a child in your vehicle, there's already a statute that authorizes a Class 1 misdemeanor. It's handled under the Abuse of Children Statute, 26-9-1. In fact, if you listen to the testimony, it related to referring to child endangerment in it. And I will tell you that it is routinely prosecuted in this state that if you have a child under the in a vehicle with someone that is driving under influence, that it is child endangerment. This bill, as written, has a lot of, I think, what would be called unintended consequences as it relates to it. As a starting point, it doesn't separate and define exactly what driving under the influence charges you're talking about. So let's say you have a minor who is charged with what's called a zero tolerance DUI, 17-year-old driving around, and has two other 16-year-olds in there, and and you can get one of those by having any drugs in your system or being in a .02, currently a Class 2 misdemeanor. Is that person now subject to additional Class 1 misdemeanors because they have two 16-year-olds in their vehicle as it relates to that? None of that's fleshed out in this bill. If you're looking, like I would state, I think South Dakota law already adequately protects this. There's a reason I would submit why law enforcement is not here supporting this bill and the Attorney General's office is not here supporting this bill. It's because South Dakota law already covers these situations. So we would respectfully submit that this legislation is not needed and would ask for your vote to defer this to the 41st day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further opponent testimony, House Bill 1217. Further opponent testimony. Okay, seeing none, we'll offer it for a rebuttal. Once you're seated, sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, members of the committee, Representative Tim Goodwin, District 30. This bill went before the House Judiciary, passed 11-0, went on the House floor, passed 59-8. To reiterate what was said before, there's only three states, us being one of them, that doesn't have this bill on there right now. In the opponent's testimony just now, there is a child endangerment on the books, but it doesn't specifically talk about DUI, and we'd like to have it. So if there is a DUI, it's kind of the discretion of law enforcement if they want to use that or not. Where this would say that if you are convicted of a DUI and you do have children in your car, that would automatically be part of the sentence. With that, I guess that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. We'll close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions, discussion, or action. Senator Boland.
Yeah, thank you. I think I have a question for the lady from MAD.
Go ahead and state your question.
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking at the chart that you gave us, and I want to say thank you for your testimony I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much. On this one page here, can you help me? I'm not an attorney or a law enforcement person by any means. It says, of the 38 persons killed, about halfway down the page, of the 38 persons killed, 0 to ages 19 between 2011 and 2017 in impaired driving crashes. How do you define impaired driving?
Impaired nowadays is drunk or drugged.
Drunk or drugged. Okay, yes. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then, Mr. Chair, can I continue on? I've got a couple other questions I want to ask.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm just going to continue on. So 14 were passengers in a vehicle where the driver had been drinking. Okay, so they are in some way intoxicated. Would that be accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, now let's go down to the chart, if I could. So we have 14 people tragically killed under these circumstances between 11 and 17. eight of these individuals were, would it be accurate to say that eight of these individuals were adults?
Eight as the driver?
No, as the person killed. Would that be accurate?
No, they're children. On the left-hand side is the age of these children.
Okay, and I'm looking there where it says the age of 18.
So there was two 18-year-olds killed, and their driver was drunk.
Okay, and then there were six who were 19 years of age.
Right.
And yes. So my question is it accurate to say that eight of these individuals, since you're able to essentially do almost everything in South Dakota, including driving, voting, getting married, joining the military, is it accurate to say that eight of these 14 people, when they were tragically and horrifically killed, they were adults? Would that be accurate?
With the South Dakota law, it's 18 for children still. My bill has it as 16, but the 18 is still has a, in other laws, they have children listed as 18 still.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand that there were eight individuals who were 18 years or older in this who were right. tragically killed.
Right.
Would that be correct? And then if right. I could continue on, Mr. Chair, and tragically, horrifically, six individuals were below the age of 18 when they were tragically killed in these drunk driving accidents.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And this is statistics that I got from the South Dakota. This is exact chart that the South Dakota Highway Safety Office sent me. So they consider children in their report as 19 and under. Because I specifically asked for children through those years, 2011 to 17, and this is what South Dakota Highway Safety gave me.
Okay, and if I could just continue on, based on that, then perhaps we'd say that children are allowed to vote, if that would be accurate in the terms of definition.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, but thank you for your information. I just wanted to get that clearly. Make sure I understood the statistics there. Thank you.
Okay. Further comments or questions? Further questions? Discussion? Senator Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess this would be for any proponent. In the language of your bill, you have driving under the influence. Now, Are you specifically talking about impaired driving, or are you talking about someone, because we have ingestion on our law in South Dakota? I'll let you get seated.
Could you repeat again, sir?
Yep. Okay. So in South Dakota, we have ingestion of an illegal substance in our laws. You have driving under the influence, which is different than impaired. So are you targeting impaired drivers, somebody who is driving impaired right now, or somebody could have used marijuana legally and 2 weeks later it's still in their system? They're not driving impaired, but they can be charged with driving under the influence.
If they are picked up and they come up hot, to me, driving under the influence is driving under the influence of anything. Drunk driving, DUI is driving under the influence.
Okay, follow up on that, Senator?
I know Highway Patrol, I go out on a lot of the sobriety checkpoints, as many as I can, and the weather's not too cold. And I know they would really appreciate just a straight to DUI, but now DUIs are not just a DUI anymore. There's so many drugs in South Dakota that it comes up with DUI, with alcohol, and with drugs.
Maybe a quick follow-up.
Okay, go ahead with your follow-up.
Do you see the difference between driving while impaired and driving under the influence as far as the statutory
right.
concerns?
Right. And my main concern is driving under the influence, DUI.
Okay.
And in our, yes, my opponent says that DUIs we have a law, but with the DUI, I've sat in the courts too and listened to a DUI, and they had children in the car, and it gets down, it's a petty offense or careless driving. It's not DUI. It's a petty offense.
Okay, follow up. Go ahead.
Maybe
follow up.
Maybe for Mr. Bell.
Okay, go ahead and restate your question, Senator.
Mr. Bell, if this law was to pass, and maybe I apologize if I'm not explaining it correctly, but I want to give you two scenarios. One is a person is obviously impaired, drinking, using drugs, you know, fails a field sobriety test. They have the kids in the car. This law would apply to those, to them, correct?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, sir.
It would, and so would our current child endangerment laws as it relates to it.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Now, with the ingestion law that we have in the books of South Dakota, somebody might have been in Colorado or Oregon or wherever, used marijuana legally. Back here, they're taking their kids to school or whatever, speeding, whatever. They run a – passes a field sobriety test, but then is checked, and for whatever reason, and though they're not impaired, they could – would this law then apply to them?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Senator Heiner, your concerns are valid as it relates to the way that this law is written. And I would simply state that it depends on whether or not you're a juvenile or someone who's charged with, I should say, if you're under 21 or if you're over 21. If you are over 21, in fairness to the proponents, in order to... I think, and that this is why I think that there's some confusion as to the language that's used in the bill, as I discussed, but I believe it would be interpreted to require evidence of actual impairment at the time. So they would potentially do a drug test, but they would have to put on some evidence that there was impairment beyond just the drug test. If you're under 21, the state can prove what's called a zero tolerance DUI by showing that you have any drugs in your system whatsoever. Okay, so if you go to Colorado and you use marijuana where it's been decriminalized and it's 29 days ago, but you have a hot UA, that's what that meaning that shows that you have THC in your system, you can be convicted of a zero tolerance DUI, even though there's no evidence of impairment whatsoever as relates to it. And so in my original testimony, when I said there's some confusion as to how that would apply in zero tolerance, and there's no specific statute that it's referring to as far as the definition of impairment, that's the concern, is that you could have a 17-year-old kid who used some sort of marijuana product weeks ago, but it still shows up in the system. That's currently a Class 2 misdemeanor to be convicted of a class of zero tolerance DUI. Well, now you've got three counts because there's three 16-year-olds in the car with them. That's confusing, and like I said, I just don't think that's the policy that we're looking to have in this state as it relates to those situations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Nordstrom,
follow-up question.
Go ahead and state your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What the bill says is under the influence. So I'm going to focus in on the words under the influence. So if a person goes to Colorado, smokes marijuana, comes back, I understand there are other laws that deal with that and continues to be a crime, but that's other laws. This law clearly says under the influence. So if you're a defense attorney and the states, they through whatever process, they get to court, and the person has smoked marijuana, say, 25 days ago, would they be able to prove that that person was under the influence 25 days later?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Nostrup, I think that the state would have to prove that in a over 21-year-old situation. I'm not sure they would, because there's a zero tolerance DUI for people that are under the age of 21. And I guess that's one of just like I said, I'm not sure this bill is drafted in a way that defines what impairment is, because there's two different DUI statutes depending on if you're over 21. But I agree with you. I'm not trying to say that you're automatically going to get convicted of this. If it's a normal situation with someone that's over 21, the state would still have to prove that. I would just say that we already have a statute on the books that deals with that, and it's 26-9-1, which is the child endangerment law that we already have. So I don't want to get bogged down too much as it relates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Further questions, comments, or action? Senator Boland.
Yep. I got one more question for the lady from MAD.
Okay. Go ahead and state your question.
Thank you. So I'm looking at the chart again. I'm back on the chart. And I'm looking at the bill. And a very straightforward, no person may operate any motor vehicle while driving under the influence if any child under the age of 16 is in the driver's motor vehicle. So the number of the bill in relationship to the chart we have, and again, these are tragic statistics here. Even one is tragic. But in reality, the individuals who could have been impacted by the chart in relationship to the bill, it looks to me would be two at age 3, one at age 9, and one at age 14. Would that be accurate?
And then one at age 16, sir.
But the bill says under the age of 16.
Right. So to me, that would include 16 and under. No.
If any child under the age of 16, so that would be fifteen. So I'm just trying I'm just trying to get that evaluated in my mind. So it would be, and these are all absolutely tragic circumstances here that impact lives and families and all sorts of people. But I just want to make sure we're on the same page as to the data.
Okay. And this is, like I said, I just asked the State Safety Department to send me the chart, and this is a chart that they sent me,
okay,
which included all those ages.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions, discussion, or action? House Bill 1217.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langer.
Mr. Chair, I move that we defer House Bill 1217 to the 41st legislative day.
Okay, we have a motion made by Senator Langer, seconded by Senator Greenfield, to defer House Bill 1217 to the 41st day. Comments on the motion?
Yeah, just very brief. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just believe that we already have this law on the books, and there's just, it's, even though it's well-intentioned, I don't feel that we have a need for it at this time.
Okay, further comments? Seeing none, we do have a motion made by Senator Langer, seconded by Senator Greenfield, to defer House Bill 1217 to the 41st day. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call a roll.
Senator Boland?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Nostrup?
No.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Ewing?
No.
7-2.
Okay. By the vote, House Bill 1217 will be sent to the 41st day. The next bill we have before us this morning is House Joint Resolution 1004. The title is Rescinding House Joint Resolutions Calling for a Constitutional Convention or Convention of the States for the Purpose of Amending the Constitution of the United States. And at this time, we will take proponent testimony. Good morning, Senator Greenfield. You have the floor, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, as you said, I am Brock Greenfield. I'm the senator from District 2. My hometown is Clark. And I apologize to staff that I haven't signed in as a proponent. I'll do that afterwards.
You probably should go do that before you testify then, don't you think?
If you would like.
We'll waive it at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very simply, I have a bill here before you that calls for the rescission of four prior calls for conventions, multi-state conventions, constitutional conventions, whatever you want to call them, for issues that I guess are stale or probably the time frame, the window of opportunity has passed. So with respect to previous calls in 1907, House Joint Resolution 2 called for the direct election of the U.S. Senate. Okay. House Joint Resolution 7 in 1909 called for an amendment to prohibit polygamy. House Joint Resolution 5 in 1909 did the same as the Joint Resolution in 1907, calling for direct election of the U.S. Senate. And House Joint Resolution 503 in 1971 called for states to receive a share of the federal income tax revenues. That probably isn't going to happen anytime soon. So I've asked you in the past to consider rescinding prior calls. And I've pointed out that by virtue of a bill in 2010, if I'm not mistaken, 1135 rescinded a number of other calls for conventions. These ones clearly are outdated. Clearly, I believe, should be taken off the books. Doesn't touch the balanced budget measure. And I think that I'm safe in saying they've expressed it to me and they've expressed it to the House Prime that the folks who support the Convention of the States and balanced budget amendment have been supportive of this effort to repeal or rescind these prior calls. So with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Joint Resolution 1004. Further proponent testimony. Seeing none, we will offer for opponent testimony. Opponent testimony on House Joint Resolution 1004. Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and close the discussion from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions or action. Senator Boland.
Well, thank you. I will move due pass on HJR 1004.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Senator Boland, seconded by Senator Youngberg, for due pass on House Joint Resolution 1004. Discussion on the motion.
Yes, well, it gives me some pleasure to be on the same side as the good President Pro Tem on one of these particular issues. I would like to say that I'm hopeful. I mean, obviously, these are way overdue. There has to be some kind of limit as to the length of time these things are valid for. I have stated publicly before, I think we should have 10, maybe 12 years at the very most. I'm hopeful that if this House Joint Resolution would pass, that we could get these off the books, and then we could maybe have a truce and allow this stuff just to sit, so we wouldn't have to spend time fighting as to whether we're going to repeal this stuff or rescind it and all this stuff. So I would urge you to support this, and these are obviously stale and out of date, and I urge support of the motion. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion before us? Seeing none, we do have a motion made by Senator Boland, seconded by Senator Youngberg for due pass on House Joint Resolution 1004. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call a roll.
Senator Boland.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Novstrup.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, we have a unanimous due pass motion. House Joint Resolution 1004 will go on down to the floor. Senator Kennedy.
Mr. Chairman, I move consent.
I object. Doesn't look like that's going to work, sir. All right. Do we have any more business to come before the committee this morning?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Heinert to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.